the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rat on a different day, it's got to be said. It's definitely different this week. The UK is going into its typical meltdown, which I can never understand. Yeah. And, well, we're going down into meltdown in Slovakia because it's 26 degrees here. Phew. But I'm in a nice cold...
That's centigrade for the people in the States.
Exactly. My name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, which I have to say still have a modicum of snow on the top because they're so high up. We're in the east of Slovakia in the town of Poprad, hence Postcard from Poprad. On the rubbish side of Europe, which couldn't get his act together if it's tried, is none other than my old mucker, Lee Banks.
That's a very nice introduction, thank you. And I'm pleased to hear that you've still got some snow on the top, Eric.
You're going blah, 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 blah.
I know, it was supposed to start off really intelligent and urbane and witty, but it just fell apart. Anyway, how nice to speak to you again, and hello, Mark.
Hi, Lee, and hi, Eric. And yes, I'm very pleased that you've still got snow on the top as well. But what are the mountains like?
Beautiful.
Oh, right, yes, okay.
I mean...
Snow on the top as well?
Yes, they are.
Yes, right, okay.
You're not going to win this one, because they are... it's very true. I had no interest whatsoever in the sort of eco world, the environmental world, any other sort of lovey-dovey stuff, until I came here. I look at the Tatras Mountains, and I'm sure Lee will back me up on this, they are just spectacularly different.
They are absolutely incredible. They are actually, they're called the Alps of the Central Europe, aren't they?
Yeah. Or Eastern Europe.
And in fact, they beat the Alps into a pulp.
They are
incredible.
Yeah, they are.
And the other thing to be said about a bit of snow on the top, Eric,
It's
not to be sniffed at.
I like that, indeed. Anyway, let's move along, boys and girls, because I'm sure the bun fight's about to start. As we go on air, a former top boss get chappy at the News of the World was arrested this morning. Ho-hum. But first of all, say hello to a good old friend of the programme who's now following us on Twitter. We are not worthy, sir. Emperor Roscoe is with us. Hi, Emperor. Trust you incredibly well. And I promise if you come over this year... we'll get to that Chinese restaurant again. He likes it.
Well, welcome, Your Highness.
Yes.
And, you know, if there's anything we could do, we'll be pleased to do what we can for you.
Stop spluttering.
It's a real coup.
Yeah, stop spluttering. Do you remember Roscoe then on Radio 1?
Yes,
of course. Of course I do. Oh. And he is his Royal Highness of Radio,
yes,
isn't he?
He is. Yes. Yeah.
I wonder if he knows his Royal Bobness. As they both live in similar parts of the world.
He probably does actually know who Roscoe's met in his esteemed career, which continues to this day.
Where did he get the name Roscoe from?
It was something to do with Radio Caroline.
Oh, was
so
it
he's
really?
Not. He wasn't born to a Mr. and Mrs. Roscoe?
No. No.
And he's not really an emperor?
Well, he is in radio terms, yes.
So he's used the wrong name, he claims royalty, and he's got neither.
But to me, he'll always be the Emperor Roscoe. He's the only bloke who can go, give me a break, Eric, and get away with it.
Actually, I see here that his real name is Paul Eric Bosco, with a B.
No.
It says here, Paul Eric Bosco, also known as Roscoe, is an American singer. No, wrong. Sorry.
Thank
wrong
you.
One.
Wrong one. Don't...
yeah.
No, I'm wrong one.
You do our research for us, Mark.
Whoops. Okay, hang on. Rewind.
Yep.
So, his real name is Michael Joseph Pasternak.
That's right.
Pasternak?
Yes.
Is he anything to do with Louis?
Hey?
Louis Pasternak. Honest to God, you people are such... Philistine.
Does he make films?
Yeah. I think we've got the wrong name, actually. A bit
probably,
like
yeah. Anyway, boys and girls, if you want a treat in soul radio, look up Emperor Roscoe on the internet, because it is just outstanding. Which reminds me, get ready for next week. We're giving everybody an opportunity to go into a fun book. Uh-huh. And it's when you've made the ultimate cock-up. Ooh. Like sending the SMS to the wrong person.
Oh.
Or when you've dropped your mobile phone down the toilet.
Done that.
Or the flowers have gone to the wrong lady.
Oh.
Yeah. Julian is putting a book together. He's a writer and an old friend of the programme as well. And he's putting together this wacky book about all the things where you've made that mistake. Because everybody talks about them. You get lots of programmes on them, but nobody actually puts them in print.
Can I tell you a very quick one of mine?
Yeah, if you like.
You'll remember what these were called, but internal sort of email services within one office.
Intranet.
Is that what it was? I can't remember. About 10 years ago.
They were intranets, and they're still called intranets.
Well, it was one of them, and I was having an affair with a young lady in the office.
Despicable.
Right? I know, terrible, honestly. Well, it actually caused me a lot of trouble, to be honest, when her husband found out. But we were on the internet.
Julian, are you recording this? It's Lee Banks.
Lee G Bank.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we were on this intranet thing, sending each other messages all the time. And it was lovely. Anyway, we had a bit of a falling out.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, the way it was, a bit of an office affair, a bit heartbroken. And I intranetted her saying, look, you know I always loved you and that everything can be right if we do everything properly. Please meet me in the car park at the break. And my boss, whose name was George, turned round to look at me with absolute horror on his face because I'd sent the message to him by accident. Invited my boss to meet me in the car park for a bit of tarry diddle.
Did he say yes?
Well, I've skirted round him, man, honestly.
Skirted round him. Right, let's get on. The program was supposed
to say, I knew this story already because I hacked into your voicemail, found out all about it.
That was so predictable. Thank you. into the terrible part of the program, the obit mood, where the man who wrote Supercar dies. Martin Woodhouse.
Poor old Martin Woodhouse, yeah. He had a good life, though, didn't he? Do you remember Supercar?
Yes.
Absolutely,
It was the forerunner of... it was on at the same time as... Yeah, that's right. At the same time as Four Feather Falls.
Yeah. Yes, Four Feather Falls. And the feathers would twirl round, wouldn't they, or something like that.
Yeah, and I thought everybody walked like Spotty Dog, like that. I thought that's how... I used to walk around like that. Like
Spotty Dog was the flower pot man.
No, he wasn't anyway.
Was?
He was the other one. He wasn't. He was in Thing.
What?
Tales by the Roadside.
You're on about Tales from the Riverbank?
Yeah, Roadside, yeah.
Wasn't it Andy Pandy?
Andy
Pandy was on Tuesdays. Picture Book was on Mondays.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Bill and Ben was on Wednesdays.
Oh, please!
Ragtag and Bobtail was on Thursdays. And
that's right.
For the life of me, remember.
And you had to watch them all because you couldn't record them. How did you get time to go to school? I didn't.
Anybody around the world not living in the UK, I apologise humbly for the last little rant that went on, which probably means nothing to you, and it also means very little to me, because I've only seen this stuff in history books.
Have you seen The Avengers? Do you remember The Avengers?
Oh.
Well, Martin Woodhouse, who's died, and he was only 78,
mm-hmm.
used to write The Avengers as well.
Did he?
Mm.
Did he write the bit with the short skirts as well, then?
I don't know what he wore when he was writing, but he was... mind you, in Supercar, you never know, no strings attached. Man, he could have been up to anything.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom, indeed. Anyway, poor old boy has died. He did make some absolutely tremendous programmes, albeit they are somewhat dated these days because blue screens and animation has taken over a lot, but they were really good. They were good.
Sally.
Especially what about the Avengers.
Ooh. What about Cy Twombly?
Who?
Cy Twombly.
Never heard of it.
He was the first... I'm going to read this. He first found the limelight with his calligraphic paintings in the late 1950s. And I remember them, actually. They were like lines, representative lines. He was the precursor, really, of
Rob Harris.
No, he was a good artist, and it's another tragedy because he's died in Rome. He's 83. I just think it's sad that these talented people who actually made a difference in the world in the 50s and the 60s are now shuffling off this mortal coil.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say they're about as interesting as Lowry.
Lowry? What's up with Lowry?
Well, because of Lowry, there was once a song called Matched Up Men and Matched Up Cats and Dogs.
Which was absolutely the most biggest pile of C with the rap on the end of it ever made. It
Thank
was
you.
Disgusting. Anybody who was involved in that, apart from my daughter who was actually singing in the choir in the background, should be put up against the wall and shot.
Well, at that time, I was having a debate with my then producer, who happened to be who happened to be Mrs. Wiltshire Mark One, who laughed immensely because I was always arguing I should start.
Looks like you're going to be Mrs. Wiltshire Mark Two then.
Yeah, I argued the toss that we should start the program every week with the number one sound, which after a little while she gave in and said, "All right then." And then, of course, along comes Matched Up Men and Matched Up Cats and Dogs at number one. And she says, "Ha ha 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 ha, now look what you got to play." And I went, okay, never mind. anyway,
you can't blame Lowry for that song.
Well, if he didn't paint the pictures, there wouldn't have been a song.
That's a good point.
So I can blame him. As we speak, there are thunderstorms and all sorts of cloud things over, which may delay, I don't know if it will, the final space shuttle mission. What a shame. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, it is getting old. And for those people who have been bemoaning it a bit like Concorde, I would say to you guys, I've got more computing power in my mobile phone than on that ship. So I think it's about time it was put to bed. Because it's getting a bit past it. But we
How
do...
old is it?
Ooh.
It's ancient, isn't it?
It is ancient.
Well, I think the first time they used to go up, they used to watch Ragtag and Bobtail if they were having the first...
They probably were, actually. Yeah. It must be 30 years old or more. Got to be.
Yeah, see, you don't keep a car that long, do you?
No.
Well, you're frightening me now.
Well, they do in Slovakia because they don't go rusty like they do in England. Anyway, we wish all the astronauts on the final shuttle mission all the very best and good luck with the mission.
Of course we do.
Absolutely, because if it wasn't for the space shuttle itself, there wouldn't be an International Space Station because it's the only vehicle that was capable of carrying all the bits and bobs up there. Princess Kate has been, or Catherine, as William called her this week. You notice that? It's now Catherine.
They've had a row.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. She's Kate normally. Now she's Catherine. You know they've had a row then.
So William and Catherine have been over to see the survivors of that horrendous fire in Canada. Bless them. And then they've been down to Calvary and were issued with, interestingly, a couple of cowboy hats, which they didn't. It looked a bit of an uncomfortable thing to me. They didn't put them on straight away, but they were on when they were driving in the coach later.
I know, a bit of a funny thing, isn't it? You said that really was, I know we're going to move on to the press, but that really was a press photo call, not set up by the press, set up by the people whose town had just burnt down.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit of a bizarre thing to do. Yeah, could you just put that on so we can have some nice pictures?
Yes. Well,
they did the right thing. They went down there to commiserate with people and, I assume, even just to highlight the thing with what gone on and perhaps help in a small way.
Absolutely.
And they had to wear stupid cowboy hats.
Those are really nice cowboy hats.
That's a very nice cowboy hat, but on principle, it's stupid.
Ravy, I know you listen. If you're listening to this, can you send abusive email or messages on Facebook to Mr. Banks? Because those hats from Canada are lovely. They are wonderful. In fact, we still have
They're lovely.
Yes.
You said lovely.
I did.
You said lovely. You're supposed to say lovely.
No, I was doing that so you could fully understand it, knowing that I'd have to translate proper English for you.
I am Noel Gallagher reincarnated. You just...
Right. How come Noel Gallagher didn't have, on the interviews he did this week, white hair with a ponytail?
He was a bit of a dick, really, wasn't he?
Oh, it's going to be one of those weeks. I've had a rotten morning at work, and now here we go.
Well, you should
For
work
the people in America, that means that he was a bit of a Richard.
Yes, something like that.
Right.
Anyway, if we had a four-part programme, this would be the end of part one. We've saved the entire part two, 15 minutes, because this is what Uncle Lee wrote on the running. Because we do this together, boys and girls. It's not mine, not Mark's, not Lee's. We all contribute it. And Lee tends to have the tabloid sort of headlines on that you see on Scribd on the programme schedule. And item one, notice, item one, okay, and I'm going to put it up on the web so you can see it. Item one, I truly believe the press does not get the public it deserves, says Lee.
I rest my case. Would you like me to expand upon that theory?
I actually don't understand how the majority are not good because the press are above them.
It's very simple, really. And actually, it's quite a serious point.
Excuse me, boys and girls. Yeah, go on.
In Britain, despite what's happened over the past few days, and I'm quite willing to hold myself up for ridicule off both you and Mark over this.
Okay.
But in Britain, we have the greatest press, particularly newspapers in the world. And the reason I say that the press doesn't
can
get
I say,
the public...
Can I say, I think that's true. I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we're talking, you have to make a difference between the press and, of course, maybe problem of some journalists on the press. But
yeah.
Anyway, go on. Sorry.
But it's a bit deeper that we'll go into that after. It isn't necessarily the journalist. But what happens with the newspapers particularly are the whipping boys of the British public. They are hated. We are vilified and hated generally by people throughout the world, actually, but we're focusing on the UK at the moment because of what's going on. And the simple fact is, if we didn't have the press that we've got, which is what the public want to get rid of, then the whole of our freedom of expression and everything else would be destroyed. We have things that we can do through the British press that nobody else, particularly in France and America, are not allowed to do. And we should be defending it. The public should be defending the press, not vilifying it, because it made a mistake.
Yeah. Lee, can I just interrupt? Because I can tell you that I've looked at the Paris papers here, the French papers, about this ongoing scandal, and you're saying you're referring to it often. Nobody here is writing about it or talking about it, and they don't know what it's about. And I can imagine that
maybe
the same thing's in the States, so maybe people ought to... I think it's going to be a long-going story, so maybe it's worth...
Well, okay, let me sit as chairman on this one, because otherwise there'll be a rant. For some considerable years, there's been concern that newspapers, namely the News of the World, which will have its last publication this Sunday, because
no, it's finished. It's not going to come out.
Is he not going to come out now? No, he said it was.
Finished, gone, never to be seen again.
No,
not even on Sunday.
No, it won't come out. Well, it will not be out. There is a chance that the Sunday Sun will appear in its place, but the News of the World will not appear.
Well,
they announced there was going to be a last one.
Yes, Mr. Murdoch actually said yesterday in the interview...
It would be not-for-profit, all the money and no advertising, and all the money will be given to good causes.
That's right, and the spare capacity of advertising would go to charitable causes as well. Now,
And to satisfy the bail surety of various journalists, I imagine.
Inside story is that it won't actually appear.
Right. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. There's been the ongoing problem with allegations made about people hacking into phones, predominantly message services, not actually getting into your physical phone with one of which I'm holding in my hand right now. It's the answer service or the message service that people have been allegedly hacking into. And we have to say allegedly at the moment, because although some cases have been concluded, others have not. So I don't want to prejudice any of those things. So this has been ongoing for years. There's been senior personnel within News Corporation or News International that have been connected to this, and that's now being investigated. There's also allegations that the police have received bribes from people at the News of the World. That's now being investigated as well. However, it's got to be said that the vast majority of the people working at the News of the World today had nothing to do with it, because they weren't working there. And some cynical comments have come out that the reason why News International have closed the News of the World is, number one, to enable The Sun to come out as a Sunday newspaper and without all the usual problems of redundancies and so on and so forth. And number two, News International is currently trying to take over BSky, the satellite broadcaster in the UK. We're just about to conclude that deal, but But there are conditions in there where you have to be a proper and fit person to run a broadcast outlet. And since this all broke out yesterday, there's been over 100,000 complaints to the regulator suggesting that News International are not a fit and proper organisation to be a broadcaster. And further, some people are actually asking for the Sky TV licence to be revoked completely. I don't think that will happen, but that's the story for anybody around the world that hasn't seen it so far. That's where
and
we're
that
up
was
to.
That was immaculately put. That was beautifully put. And the simple fact is...
Manchester Guardian, dear boy.
Yeah. The News of the World, right, by closing the News of the World overnight, right, they have made the News of the World become a crusader and a hero of the newspaper world. Because what they've managed to do, and it's only by default, I'm not saying that this is their intention in the first place, but this is what it has created, mm-hmm. is that the biggest, the most powerful and the most incredible campaigning newspaper of all times, of the last 168 years, the News of the World has thrown itself on its own sword by exposing corruption from the highest parts of the British establishment, through the police, through politicians, through the press. It has thrown the world apart with this wildly incredible exclusive to say this is how corrupt British society is.
Actually,
and it has closed its doors.
I'm going to jump in there and say this is very quintessentially UK style. Because the UK has, and I'm going to drag it back to radio now, because in the 1960s there were offshore radio stations, colloquially known as pirate stations, which they were not.
You've never mentioned that before.
No. August the 14th is coming up. Wait till we get that week.
I've been there before with you.
And to this day, you're talking of an act of government in 1967, and yet still to this day, the pirate radio stations or offshore stations are revered by hundreds of thousands of people in the UK. And it doesn't happen in other countries. And it's there's a point to this story because it connects to Slovakia. I went into a well-known shop, you know, one of those across Europe stores, and I wandered in there. There's only a T-shirt in there in bright yellow. Now, can you imagine me in bright yellow, boys and girls? And it's got on there.
No.
Thank you. I look like a bumblebee. And on the front of this T-shirt is a tribute to Radio Hierarchy, which in August I will bring you a recording of the end of Radio Hierarchy where it breaks up on the rocks. Breaks its anchor. The guy's live on the air.
I have heard it, yes.
Yeah, the guy's still live on the air. And he finishes the story off. He runs back to the microphone. You can hear him. Runs back to the studio. And at the moment, just before the transmitter goes off, all he says is, "Mum and Dad, I love you." And it's very unbelievable piece of radio. And, of course, going to this well-known store that's in England and other parts of Europe, and there's tribute T-shirts to Radio Hierarchy in bright yellow. Now, nobody's buying them in Slovakia because they have no idea what's going on. What's Radio Hierarchy? Eric looks at them and goes, "Cool! I'll have them!" Big anorak. And, of course, I take them home and people are still looking at me going, "What the hell is that?" The only person that knew what it was our chairman, Jan. And he was laughing because I wore it just on purpose so he could see it. But these shirts, they're still... I think they're now discounted by 70%. So any anoraks that want a Radio Hierarchy T-shirt, come to Slovakia. You can get them dirt cheap here because nobody understands.
What's that got to do with this horrendous story about the news?
Because
I'd like to make a couple of comments.
Let me just finish. Hang on, Mark. I'll pass it over to you. Because that is the sort of English way of looking at something which is cut off when it's in its prime. And I don't believe the News of the World was down. It was down years ago. Now it's back to its prime and helping soldiers, doing all sorts of magnificent things. Yeah. And currently, it's in its prime. And I'll give you the third example. So we've got the News of the World, Radio Hierarchy, and the offshore station. And the same goes with RTI, because somebody tried to kill us when we were in our prime, and it will not lie down. it won't go away. And people to this day still wander over to me. In fact, I was in that well-known shop again the other day, and lovely young lady came over and said, "I've got an iPhone because of you, because I can listen now, and it's just a shame I can't listen on FM." And she won't give up on it. And that's a Slovak lady. And it's funny how this sort of works. You cannot cut something off in its prime and expect it to die, because it won't.
No. No. Can I agree with just to get back to the story very, very quickly? The decision to cancel or to stop the News of the World, I'm quite sure was absolutely calculated. Whether it's cynical or what have you, it's obviously calculated. They're very clever, the guys who are running this. I think it was a stroke of genius. For whatever reason, I think it's a stroke of genius. The other thing is, I'm sure the title will reappear in a couple of years. You wouldn't want to sacrifice all of that goodwill, all of that value. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if it turns out that these journalists have acted in this way, then I really think that they need the most serious treatment, because I think that what's happened here does represent a massive danger to the free press in the United Kingdom. This free press that Lee quite justifiably is boasting about, and I think we all need very, very badly. So I think it's been a shocking thing, and I think that if these people are guilty, I notice they've already made two arrests here. Although these people, of course, are just helping with inquiries. But anybody who's found guilty, I think, that should never really work in journalism at all. I think.
Well, actually, hold on a minute, Lee. I'm going to pick up on one of your points, Mark.
Yeah, go on, man.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier. This whole thing of closing the News of the World is absolute hogwash. Absolute hogwash.
It's not hogwash.
It is. If Mr. Murdoch wanted to really distance himself from the News of the World, he could have quite easily, with the entire intellectual property of that 160-odd years, put that news, closed it, absolutely, but then put that up for sale, and all the money from the sale would go to Help for Heroes or something like that, to actually prove to the British community that he wasn't going to bring the newspaper back in 12 months' time, because currently, everybody that I'm talking to is going, he's only shutting it for a while, it'll come back.
Yeah.
Well, of course it would, but there's nothing wrong with that. Why shouldn't he bring it back? The News of the World.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that reputation.
Yeah, but that's the point. You had Mr. Murdoch going, this is very sincere and we really mean this, folks. Well, actually, it's a farce because he's going to bring it back anyway.
Yeah, but he's like, that's. I'm sorry, Eric, sometimes I think you. Anyway, listen, because, right, that's like saying. I don't know what it's like saying. It's saying like your heart's knackered, therefore you have to die. You know, it's not.
No, listen,
something went wrong.
He's taken this step.
He was diseased, and he's going to save its life. He deserves to save it.
Exactly. It's like a science fiction thing. What he's done, really, is he's put it in suspended animation so the deterioration won't continue anymore until the problem's solved. Mm-hmm. Then it will be reactivated, and I have to say, why not? If the rot is cut out, then why not? Because it is a great news.
I agree with that, totally. But you don't at the same time say, this is a very sincere move, blah, 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 to try and paint over it in PR puff. Because
bear in mind, the News of the World contributes at least £10 million a year to his empire. So it's not a great loss to him, but it is £10 million a year that he has basically fined his organisation for the peccadilloes of some people on this newspaper. But I would like to say something very quickly about the actual corruption.
Well, you're going to have to be really, really, really quick.
All right, I'll do it really quick. It's dead simple. Journalists generally operate on a certain level where they are aware and involved in certain amounts of bad things. But once you get up into the upper echelons of society, i.e. where there are leading policemen involved, where there are politicians involved, where everything else involved, you are actually involved in the corruption of society.
And that's where we've got to leave. Postcard from Pop Brad, part one, boys and girls, as we take a commercial break.
Eric, give me a break.
RTI.